I wanted to study even a little deeper, so I got the book so I could read the book from the author. I got his audio so I can listen to his audios and see his demeanor and how he was bringing it across and what he was focusing on and stuff like that. And I've already, through my studies, light bulbs kept going off on things. Things I never even thought about we're going to talk about. This is going to be a different study. I'm not going to have a bunch of fancy slides up there. I'm not going to present it the way I normally present it. Pray for me in worship service because there's a lot of reading that I want to do in the sermon because I want us to focus on when we get to do our worship. I want you to pull out your Bible. If you ain't got a Bible, get one out of the pew because I want you to follow along with me through scriptures. We're going to do a deep study. When I talk about a deep study, there's a lot of conversations that we're going to start generating. And I know through years past, some of these may be tough subjects to talk about because I grew up in the church. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, like a lot of Christians have a different feelings about the Holy Spirit. So that's why I'm not going to do no fancy slides. I'm not going to do anything. We're going to pull right out of Scripture. We're going to talk strictly what God told us out of Scripture. And for the next, I think, probably next two to three weeks, we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit and what Acts talks about. But this is just, excuse my spelling, but this is an introduction to the class this morning to Acts. So this morning, I got a lot of materials. I hope to get through most of it. If I don't, I'm not worried about pace or how many lessons we're doing. It's 24 lessons in your book, but it may take me more than 24 lessons to go over what we need to go over with. We're just going to do like Jerry did with Proverbs and let the Lord lead us to where we need to go. And that's one of the biggest prayers I've had this morning because Acts, I don't know why, but the church doesn't do a whole lot of study on Acts itself. We do the Gospels. We focus on a lot of those, but really dive deep into Acts. And that is us. That governs us. It tells us how to act. It tells us what to do. It sets the foundation. It matters. So we're going to try to dive deeper into Acts and then maybe generate some questions. And maybe I'll tell you right up front, I may not even know the answer to those questions. But what I'll do is I'll go back and study specifically what you ask about and see if I can find your answer. If I have to go to some of the old and wise people within the church, Jerry and Wesley, I may turn to y'all for guidance on these questions. Because Jerry and Wesley will probably tell you, even within our own congregation, there's been a time when we talked about the Holy Spirit that it created a little bit of friction because of what Scripture says. So I encourage you, let Scripture lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you because we're going to talk about some things about the Holy Spirit maybe we really didn't consider or think about. So this is going to be a tough one. I've already realized that. So let's just start off with the introduction. Luke is the writer of Acts, the presumed writer. He is the same writing style as in chapter Luke. Everything points to Luke. Everything mimics Luke. The writing is pretty sure without any doubt that Luke wrote this book. So what do we know about Luke?
He was a physician.
He was a physician. That's important when we start talking about why Luke? Why did Luke write Luke? And why did he write Acts? Why him? Of all the people in all the world, why was he inspired to write it? And there's a key importance to it. Because you think about it, Luke likely never met Jesus in person. If you go by the time he was born, he didn't meet Jesus. He was born after Jesus passed in person, but was closely companion to Paul gather details about Jesus' life and ministry from eyewitnesses, including the disciples. So Luke probably, with all historical-wise, Luke probably have never met, most likely, almost guaranteed, never met Jesus. So why Luke? Why do we have the book of Luke? Why do we have Luke writing Acts, the beginning of the church? What do y'all think on that? Because Luke's only mentioned like three times in the Bible. Colossians 4, 14, 2 Timothy 4, 11, and Philippians 1, verse 24. Why Luke? Why do you think? I got bearism. I mean, we talk about my think on it.
I think God wanted there to be more than one perspective of what was going on.
You're right. You're right on the line, almost in the line that I'm thinking. When we look at Luke, who he was and what he did, and we know that he went a doctor. If you have an illness, he's going to investigate every aspect of it to try to figure out that illness, to figure out what's wrong. He's an investigator. He's going to dive in and ask you questions and stuff like that. Go ahead.
And the Luke and Acts, there's a lot more details to the life of Jesus, the life of Paul. He puts in things that are more, I guess, more interesting, more insight that with all of his investigating and studies with Paul, he's able to put in there where the others didn't put in there. Makes it more meaningful for the rest of us.
And you're hitting on one of the details and we'll talk about here in a second. You're exactly right.
I believe he went with the aspect that he had to prove it. He had to prove not just hearsay. He had to investigate and confirm what was stated to prove it.
Exactly. And I think that's why we have Luke in the Bible, and that's why we have Acts in the Bible from Luke, because his perspective is he didn't know anything. He was neutral in all this. So he was a doctor. His mind was developed and built that he wanted to know why. Why is it occurring? Why did this happen? Why did he have to die on the cross? Why did these miracles happen? He was trying to investigate it. So he interviewed Mary. He interviewed the followers of John the Baptist. He interviewed the apostles. He interviewed anybody and everybody who were involved in that time period. And what he was able to do was take a story here. Oh, this fits here. Take a story here and paint a whole lot bigger picture of what occurred. Because when I tell my story, I'm going to tell my story, and I'm probably going to leave out pieces of it because I'm seeing it from this view. Luke, when he wrote, he was able to get all of those views, this picture over here, this picture over here, this picture over here, and put it all together to prove that it actually occurred. And he did it in a period of time. There was no questions about it because people, if Luke would have said, Jesus was not crucified on the cross. They hung him from the tree. And people would go, no, I was there. I was literally there. I know for a fact he hung on the cross. He was able to do that investigation at the right time and right period.
But also as a physician, he was, I'm going to say, non-biased. And maybe he didn't even have to look out some of those people. Because as a doctor, I'm going to go to my doctor. And some of us may go to the same doctor and not even know it. Mm-hmm. And tell the same situation and not even know it. But he's taking those notes. So he's definitely a non-biased person. So if he had to stand behind before any authority, his word is, I'm not going to say true as in like God's word is true, but his word is as true as it gets because I didn't seek out some of these people. They literally came to me if they had an ailment or anything because I was doing what I did. I'm a doctor, first and foremost.
But he was still one of Jesus' apostles.
Oh, yeah. But he was.
He wasn't totally unbiased.
Well,
no, he was inspired, but all word is inspired from God, so it comes from God. So he wasn't totally biased, but his perspective and his view put a better picture on the situation. Because you look at just the hanging on the cross, perspective of a doctor knowing what's involved in each aspect of that. It brings it into closer view. And then he had to do a lot of investigation before he wrote these books. He had to prove it to himself before the Holy Spirit could come down and inspire him to recall, because that's what we're told in Scripture, that when the Holy Spirit comes down, you'll recall these events. So he was able to do that. Luke, having that perspective of doing those questions, wrote out details that we don't see in any other part of any other books. There's stuff in Luke that's not in no other scriptures. It's just in Luke because he was able to put those stories together. Like the Good Samaritan, that's not found in any part of the New Testament. The prodigal son is not mentioned in any other of the books. Jesus and Zacchaeus, the tax collector, is not mentioned in any other part of the books, because he grabbed these stories, because not only did he talk to the disciples, he talked to the followers, he talked to other people, and was able, well, this is what occurred when I had an interaction with Jesus. He was able to paint a more, as we were talking about before, a more detailed view of the scriptures. Helping painting our pictures so we can see the thing. Anybody ever tell you a story, then you just listen to that individual, and the way they tell the story, you're literally like you're there. You can picture what they're saying because they paint so much detail into it. And that's what Luke does. He paints a lot of details into his pictures because he gathered everything. You know, being biased, when that says, being present and then being not present, there's two different biases there. My bias is, if I was walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus, I'm going to tell you my side of the story. I'm going to leave out Matthew, Mark, and all the rest of them's side of the story. I'm going to tell you my side. But as Luke, going to each individual, he got all the sides and was able to put it together. So that became a different perspective that the other apostles did not have, because they're telling the story. They're putting their writings and their styles into it.
Brian, how do we know that Luke wasn't around when Jesus was around?
We don't. That's what I say. It's perspective.
Because we do know in Acts, we know he was with Paul, was writing for Paul. He used the word "we," particularly when he went back to Jerusalem and they had a conversation with Peter and John. He used to say "we talked to," which means he was with Paul. So he did interview Paul, had conversations with Peter and John.
Mm-hmm.
So we know he was living in their lifetime, which we know their lifetime was the same as Jesus' lifetime. So we're not talking about a distant biography of Jesus or writing about Jesus. So he would be fairly current. Whether or not he actually saw Jesus or not, that we don't know. But we do know that he was with Peter when Peter went back to Jerusalem. I mean, Paul went back to Jerusalem and he had a conversation with Peter and John about his ministry. They used the reference we.
Right. And you're going, like I said before, what most scholars believe, because they believe, most scholars believe that Luke was born between 10 to 15 A.D. He would still be, because Jesus was still pretty young when he passed away. So he still would have interaction with almost all of those. So we don't know if he was actually traveled or was one of the followers with him at the time. But we know about when his writings are, because his writings specifically talk about events, and some events he specifically left out. So we know that his writings, where they fall in all of this, because his writings of Luke fall from what most scholars, from 64 to 65 A.D., because he doesn't mention a whole lot about Paul's death. He doesn't mention the fall of Rome in A.D. to 70 A.D. So you have Vince, he talks about the imprisonment of Paul, but we don't have the other key events in there. So we really don't know exactly when, but we can key on some points of when these writings were occurred.
I'm sorry, Brian, I misspoke. I said he was an apostle. He wasn't an apostle.
He wasn't an apostle. He came after.
Right.
He came after, and that's why I think that's such a key perspective to all this. Why Luke? Why was Luke a part of the Gospels? Because that perspective, he was able to prove the Gospels by his investigation. And to me, that's a key perspective in all this. That's nailing, putting the final nail in the coffin, as far as I'm concerned, of it actually occurring, because he was able to, somebody who had a different perspective in all of that, to come in there and say, look, I investigated everything aspect of this and found out this is to be fact and true. I interviewed this person, interviewed that person, and all the stories lined up, and this is the picture I'm able to paint in Luke.
He's one of the first early Christian investigative reporters.
Yes. Yes, he was. He was one of the earliest in that doctor mentality, in that mind that he wants to investigate. It really brought it out.
And he was fact-checking.
Mm-hmm. He wants to know the details. A doctor wants to know why you have pain in your side, and does blood work, and the scans, and all this other stuff, because they want to know why it occurred. Not that you just have pain, but why is it occurring? So,
if you really want to know something, ask a nurse.
Yes.
Totally unbiased opinion.
Yes. We tell in the field out there, because you got the paramedics, the EMT, you want to know the truth, ask the EMT. The one that sits back and sees it all and listens to it all and knows and seen many more cases on their daily walks than that doctor does. But you're 100% right on that one. Yep. So we don't have a whole lot of information about Luke, but his writings tell so much about him. We do, like I said, some of the earliest talks about in Luke, we do know about a time frame that the book of Acts was written, because in the book of Acts, early events were mentioned, like the imprisonment of Paul, but we don't see anything about the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. So they're able to, that would be a significant event to talk about in the book of Acts. So we know that it was probably written prior to that. And now all this, like we're saying with Jerry, is assumptions, the scholars, their perspectives. There's nothing in Scripture saying exactly when these books were written. But we do know they were inspired words of God. They were recalling what God wanted them to recall, what the Holy Spirit wanted them to recall. So this is going to be a really in-depth study when we start going into this further and further. So, any comments about Luke? Any more comments about the physician who came along later, but he was a part of the gospel, which I think is unique within itself, and really struck my interest in when doing the study. Why Luke? How many were saved on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 were saved. And we'll talk about that in a little while, what their mentality was from that point, from being saved and seeing what they saw.
What was the time frame for Luke, or for Acts?
For Acts, it was written somewhere in the time frame, their scholars are saying, is A.D. 64 to 65, somewhere in that time frame, because of the events that occurred that were mentioned and that were not mentioned. So that's where we get a time frame for that. So what do we think about Acts? I mean, the book of Acts. What is your perspective on the book of Acts?
That's a very important book. The beginning of what we call the church. How it got its beginning with the Holy Spirit coming down on all of the apostles, and they were able to teach the first gospel, I guess, to all those people in their native tongue. I hope I'm not jumping. But anyway, it's a very important book, and it's what we strive to be. We want to be.
If somebody doesn't mind, because we'll start our deeper study, because I really want to get in a few points, and we've probably got about 20 minutes. Open up the book of Acts, starting with verse 1, and read down to verse 11.
In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while such staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
There's a lot of information in that part. There's a lot of details that I think we kind of overlook about of what's going to occur later on, for what the disciples need to be prepared for. There's a lot of details in it. You know, how long was Jesus on this earth after his crucifixion?
40 days.
Why 40 days? Do we see 40 days elsewhere in scriptures?
Magic Bible number.
Huh?
That was the magic Bible number. Right?
Yes.
Everything happened in 40s.
It's a period of testing, purification, preparation is what it can be considered. It's spiritual growth, the transformation. You see that curve, which was in Moses, Noah, and Jesus, was the number 40 days. So it was very significant that 40 days that occurred, that Jesus was here for that reason, that period of time. He just didn't die on the cross and have a few things happen and then leave a few days later and go to heaven. He was here for 40 days preparing for the day of Pentecost. If Jesus was here for 40 days, and we can look back at Noah, we can look back at the instance, there's several incidents we can talk about Moses, that this day is going to be significant. this day is important. But how did the disciples take it? What was one of the statements they still are asking?
They were still asking, will you return the kingdom at this time? They still hadn't got the message that Jesus was trying to teach them all along, that the kingdom was spiritually. They still were looking for a physical kingdom.
They were still, all right, you're risen, Lord. All right, now let's take over. They still weren't there. Why? Why, Lord?
They still hadn't gotten the understanding that they would get through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they haven't received the Holy Spirit. And that is a key factor, even today, that we'll talk about later. The key factor of the Holy Spirit is they didn't have that full understanding until they were baptized into the Holy Spirit. So Jesus took 40 days after his death, before he'd go home. I'd be ready to go home after all that. But took 40 days to prepare for the day of Pentecost. He made sure he had seen by many. He made sure his apostles stayed. Don't go nowhere. We ain't done yet. Don't go traveling off anywhere. Stay right where you're at, because there's something getting ready to happen.
Well, if you look at the apostles prior to Pentecost, they were a bunch of scared people simply because of the persecution that was taking place for the Christians. But then look at the apostles after receiving the Holy Spirit. It's almost like two totally different characters. Mm-hmm. Ready to go, courageous, full of knowledge, full of zeal to do the Lord's work, compared to being in hiding, don't want to be found out, and just plain old scared. It shows you the difference that the Holy Spirit can make in your life.
Absolutely. Because without that, they didn't have a full understanding. They were scared mainly because they knew the Roman Empire or the church was looking for them to wipe out all that part of Jesus. So that's what they had in their mind. That we got to get rid of this historical part that Jesus was here. Take out that. So that's why they're probably feared. The persecution of the church is really going to ramp up here in a little bit. It's really going to ramp up because the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those who don't want to give up their power, and that's the whole thing why they were trying to get rid of Jesus. But you'll see the perspective. This is all part of God's plan. Every bit of this. Bless you.
Yeah, I think one thing you have to realize too and understand, which the apostles themselves didn't quite understand until that time when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that they were going by what they were accustomed to the whole time with the Father Jesus and listening to what he was saying. They still were understanding in their mindset by the way in which they lived. When you talk about a kingdom taking over or being conquered, they were looking at a physical aspect. They was thinking that Jesus is going to do something miraculous that's going to be of physical significance, that, you know, he's going to just take over. And, you know, it may not be a war as they were accustomed to a war, but it still was going to be physical. The change was going to be physical. And then I think too, that's why that the two brothers wanted to be seated, which one was going to be seated on his right hand side, because they still looking at the whole thing as physical, you know. But when your sister just finished saying that after the Holy Spirit come upon them, then they take on the perspective or the understanding that it's going to be spiritual by your actions, by what you do, you know, the way you carry yourself. It's still physical, but it's going to be from within, not so much as going out and doing physical things to make things happen. And, of course, they have to be physical, as in spreading the word and being standing up boldly And which we have to do too, is the way we present ourselves to the world physically. But we don't have to go out and take somebody by force. That the word, the spreading of the word, is what the Holy Spirit is going to work through us to touch other people's hearts. And they didn't understand that from the beginning, but they were just accustomed to, oh, the only way you're going to win or take over or be in control is you're going to have to fight, and we're going to have to slaughter, and we're going to be victorious. And that way, that's the only way we're going to get our point across. But they realized there's a different aspect to it after that.
And the thing is, your perspective on it, they were seeing things on how they perspective on how the kingdom was supposed to be. They were looking at an earthly kingdom. They were looking, hey, this is what I pictured, this is what's going to occur, and this is what's going to happen. Even though Jesus throughout his ministry kept telling them and telling them and telling them, they could never get over that hump of getting away from their perspective and start putting on God's perspective or Christ's perspective on it. That's why even to this very moment, they were still looking for that earthly kingdom. Let's fast forward to today. Do we not do the same thing? We still want to put God and heaven and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our perspective, which holds us back on a lot of things because this is how we picture that it should be with life. And I think that's one of our biggest struggles with the Holy Spirit, as we'll talk about in here. We want to put the Holy Spirit in this type of bubble that we can, that He fits to our needs. He fits to our perspective of what the Holy Spirit should be. What we need to do is do what the apostles did and accept the Holy Spirit and look at it at God's perspective. And we have it. We have it right here. Just like Jesus kept telling the disciples over and over, if we have a question, quit putting our opinion into it, and let's find out what Scripture says, and look it up and try to find out the answer. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you have that attitude, the Holy Spirit will guide you. But so often we want to put our opinion, our thoughts, our process into it. That's why I think, as I studied this the past couple of weeks on this, there's where the problem of people having struggling with the Holy Spirit is, because they want to put limitations of what the Holy Spirit can do, just like the disciples put limitations on Christ, even though they saw all the miracles that they occurred.
Of course, we are blessed and fortunate to have the Scriptures that we do. And again, I'm reminded how it was noted that the Bereans studied to make sure that what was said was true. And that should be like our watchword, our guide, that we too should see what Scripture says, not what your feelings say.
Brian, I know you and I both grew up in the church, and back when I was a kid, you wouldn't even hardly say anything about the Holy Spirit. It was hardly ever preached about. It was never from the pulpit. If anybody acted a little weird, you know, we didn't call that Holy Spirit. Nothing like that was ever given. So I think a lot of times, that's why we don't embrace it, because we're not studying like we should and put... The Lord tells us we have that gift. This is Jesus' gift to us. We get that when we're baptized. Don't quench the Spirit. He's alive. He's here. He's part of the Godhead. And we need to use His power. And so that makes me sad, because I'm just now studying it at home as well. And I'm so glad you're doing this study, because I think all of us as a group will grow tremendously. If we take what the Lord has for us, there's over 13 scriptures in there about the power of the Holy Spirit. I know you already know this, but we really need to dig and let Him into our hearts, and let Him, don't put a lid on it, because the Lord will bless us.
I'm going to give you a perspective on when I preached on Sunday. Before I go to you, but Carla, you had your hand up, didn't you?
Oh, no. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, of course, our challenge is to have a biblical understanding of what God would have us to be, and also to be aware of what He has made available. And in that awareness, grow in a way that embraces it. Because if you truly believe what is said within those godly words, you cannot help but be changed for the better.
Amen.
You cannot help but change for the better. That means getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of the worldly thoughts that you have involved in yourself. Understand that you're just passing through, and really embrace that. So, again, the words, when it's spoken as words of encouragement, we're all one day closer. That has meaning. That gives direction and a reminder. Hey, you're not going to live forever here. You're going to live forever somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it right, it's going to be mighty warm where you're going.
Right. Word. Go ahead, Jerry.
But in defense of those disciples and apostles and their belief that Jesus would come back and establish an undefeatable earthly kingdom, their history and their God gave them battles, overwhelming victories against all odds. And had they remained faithful to God, He would have made an undefeatable kingdom for them, because he would be back at their back, which we know God can never be defeated. But they strayed from Him, and they thought that they were going to come back with that kind of a kingdom again. They would beat everybody, would overwhelm everybody, and God would establish them once again. But of course, we know that their concept of the godly kingdom. It's the spirit. Their concept was an earthly kingdom, where Jesus was a spiritual kingdom, and they didn't understand that next step. They had proof in their history that their God made them undefeatable if they remained faithful to Him.
Absolutely. And that's, once again, that's why I say that they're pulling from what they know and their perspective, and they're painting that picture. So that's why I don't fault them at all, because we do the exact same thing. And there's a caveat that I want to put to these lessons, because I've been praying about these lessons, because I feel like I'm going down one of those difficult roads when we start talking about certain things. When I get up here, I'm telling you up front, through the next however many weeks we preach, I'm going to make mistakes up here. I may misquote, I may say something wrong, I may come with the wrong perspective. You need to carry these books back. You need to dig in and say, hey, is that exactly right what he's saying? And you need to correct me, because we're studying this together. And I will not be offended in any form or fashion, because I know, growing up in the church, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, how some people feel about it. But I want us, in the next several weeks, to work together and dig into the scriptures and find out what God wants from us. Because I'm telling you, what I've already picked up, my perspective is changing, because I'll be honest with you, I put the Holy Ghost in one of those bubbles, separating it a little bit, and I'm going, wait a minute. And so, maybe my perspective may be a little off, but show me in scriptures as we go through the study where I'm leading the wrong directions. Nobody, you can't bring and put anybody of physical nature, of human being, in front of this pulpit, and they're going to be accurate every bit of the time. That's why we need to go back and study, and not be like the Catholic Church, because that's how the Catholic Church preaches. You don't need to know. I'll tell you what it says. I'm not going to tell you what it says. I want you to tell me what it says. So when we go through the study, I encourage you, because I'll be honest with you, there's a whole lot of things that have been rolling in my head. When I'm looking at the church, I'm going, whoa, maybe that's why we're struggling. Maybe as the churches, that's why we're struggling. Because when we talk, when we really start to talking about what the Lord's perspective of what the church is supposed to look like, are we there? I can tell you we're not. We'll never be until the day the Lord comes, because we're human and we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make decisions based on our perspective and our mentality than studying God's scriptures. This lesson I want you, for you to be that inquiring mind. Is that quite right? And dig and find out for yourself. Because I can't teach Acts and I can't teach about the Holy Spirit based on my ability and my knowledge right now. That's kind of weird to say. But I'm telling you, that's what I've learned already, that I have a lot more to learn. So my perspective coming into this class before, we'll just study Acts. That's what I figured. We'll just study the book of Acts. But once I started studying, I'm not ready for this. I bit off more than I could possibly chew. Let's not take it that way. Let's take bites at it and become stronger as a congregation. And correct me when I'm wrong. And I'll give you, and let's go to scriptures and see what scripture says. I almost wanted to say, no, never mind. Leslie, I'm not ready yet. Because he texted me this week. I was laughing because he called me when I was on a dinner date. So that's why I didn't answer you the first time. I was on a dinner date with my wife. But I texted him, I think, the next day. He said, are you ready? I'm going, no, I'm not ready for this. But we are ready as a congregation. Anytime that we talk about scriptures and God's word, we're ready to learn and study. So I want to put that caveat out there. I'm not going to be the perfect teacher on this, but we are going to study this together and find out what the Lord wants out of us.
Brian, I just want to add to what you said, that's why this is Sunday school. It's a combination of us studying together. Mm-hmm. We ask questions. We get a chance. It's good to listen to a speaker to give us meat to chew on all week. But in this case, in Sunday school, we get a chance to take it out like the little children do. Take it out and look at it and say, yeah, I like this. And put it back in our mouth and we discuss it. Because, believe it or not, it's always going to be some of us that's going to sit around and not make a comment. But we still got a question or an inquisitive point that, you know, I wish you had to say a little bit more about that. I wanted to ask that question, but nobody has said no, so I ain't said nothing. This is the only time we get a chance to speak up. And you hear it, and it's no dumb question, it's no wrong answer. This is why we study together, to find out so that we can know, so when we tell someone else, we can know what we're saying, show ourselves the truth.
Terry, you had your hand up? Okay, I thought I saw that. But y'all need to know that I'm going to make mistakes through this process. But my heart, hopefully, is in the right place to want to know the answer and willing to accept the answer, because that's one of the prayer all the way here this morning, I'll be honest with you, is knowing what I was getting ready to face this morning and what I want to talk about this morning, that was my prayer, that you come out of me, that it's not me, that we learn together and that we focus on your word.
As with the whole rendering of this Holy Bible, God's word, we may hear it, we may come to actually understand it, but the greater point is are we willing to accept it? Do it, he says, whether you like it or not. It's not whether really the point is, it's not whether you like it, it's whether you want to serve him. And he's the standard. He says to them, it is what it is. And again, as the scripture says, we are the clay, he's the potter. He makes us into what he wants us to be. That is to serve, whatever capacity that may be.
And y'all, as we study Acts, This is the foundation of the church, where we're in now today. And we need to understand that. That these are not options. What we study and what we learn and what we're going to learn is what was built as the foundation of the church. It's our guidance for the church and for us. So we need to understand that this is not a choice. And we'll talk about that in a little while. God set what His church would look like. And so we need to study that as a congregation as such when we study Acts. Is that this is His word. This is said before. It's not an option, or it's not can I pick or choose. It's a must. So I encourage y'all to study along with me as we go through here, not just in this period of 45 minutes, which I'm now over, and the lesson I give you for about 20 to 30 minutes this morning. Just don't take that and, all right, I got my little bit of feeding this week, because you're going to starve before the end of the week. If you just rely on eating one time a week, you're going to starve. So take these books that we have them up here and study them for yourselves. And if you find something, come to me. Come to Jerry. Come to Wesley. And we'll figure it out. Because we're all going to go back to Scripture to figure out the answers to these questions. All right. This is your class. Probably got you a little anxious about what I'm going to talk about at a worship service, but that's good.